Well, amen. Take your Bibles, if you will, please. And we're going to turn to the book of John. Pray for Miss Mary Price. She was in the hospital this week, and she had some trouble breathing, a few other things, and I called her yesterday, and not doing real well, but she's doing better, so you continue to pray for her. She sits right back here in the back, and I know she'd appreciate it. Are these, do you know if these are done? These cookie things here, do you know anything about them? Are they out here? Okay. If you would like, just give you more of a reason to go to the door. You had some folks that you wanted to invite to the Christmas program. We did this last year and it worked. You know how it goes. We got some invitations with some cookies on the back here. And so it gives you something more to hand to the folks there. So we have those out there. If you ordered those, you can get them. If you want, if we want some more, I'm sure we can get some more. There's plenty out there. So you got some neighbors or somebody you particularly wanted to, and maybe said, well, I just don't have time. Well, these are two chocolate chip, homemade chocolate chip cookies. And so you can't beat that with a stick. So anyway, I would encourage you to make use of those. I am surprised that my son did not bring a pair of tap shoes with him this morning. The reason is he danced all over my message during Sunday school. I mean, he danced around it. He did all kinds of tricks and flips around my message. I think I still have something new for you this morning, but he did a real dance on that one. He really did. John chapter 1, verse number 19, we're going to start. Then look at, I want you to go ahead and put your finger in Luke chapter 7. Don't lose John, but look at Luke chapter 7 as well. Pastor Gaskill preached one Wednesday evening here recently on knowing who you are out of this passage in John. And while he was preaching, I saw something that kind of came to my thought and comparing it to things in Luke. And I don't remember, I guess I've seen it, but haven't really seen it before. And then Brother Nathan even brings it up during his message. It didn't stay there long, but he even brings it up during his Sunday school class. But I have some thoughts I want to share. I want to be an encouragement to you. Do you ever think like you really blew it? And you just really wonder why God even bothers with you? You know what I mean? And I'm not even talking about some kind of great big deep sin, like there's shallow sin. I don't know. But it's not like some kind of deep sin. But you second guessed him. And you know you shouldn't have. And you wouldn't really say it out loud or probably admit it to anybody. But down in your heart, you just kind of think. And I kind of talked about this last week. We kind of started thinking, I think God messed up. Something's not right here. Well, I want you to see something here. And again, I want to be an encouragement to you this morning. In John chapter 1, the first few verses we hear about who Jesus is, up through verse 14. When we get to verse 19, we're talking about John the Baptist. Now, this is John who wrote the book of the Gospel of John that we're reading. That's John the Apostle. This is John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ. And John was a cousin of Jesus. And he was about 6 months older. Not really a whole lot older than Jesus was. And so that means that he's about 30, 31 years old. And John really doesn't live a real long life. I mean, he comes on board saying that Jesus is going to come, and he's dead before Jesus has done his ministry 3.5 years later. I mean, think about it. And in verse number 19, it says that of John 1, this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? So John the Baptist is preaching, and he's stirring up a crowd. And he's preaching repentance. And he's preaching repentance to everybody. In fact, to the Pharisees and the scribes and the priests, he says, by the way, guys, who in the world told you to repent? He's talking to the religious leaders here, the ones all dressed up in the robes, you know, the ones who showed up in the suits. All right, and he says, what got you all wound up? You want to repent? You want a baptism of repentance? Says, go do some things that makes it look like you repented. Go get some fruit, meat, or fitting for repentance. Then come back and talk to me. And so he was very plain with them. But they came to him and said, who art thou, John the Baptist? Verse 20, and he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. That verse basically said, he could have got a crowd right there. Well, I'm the one that's supposed to come. You know that prophet guy? That's me. I mean, he could have pulled the wool over somebody's eyes right there. And God said that he was something that he was not. And he could have got a big following right then, but he didn't. He says, no, I'm just John the Baptist. That's who I am. I'm nobody. I'm not the Christ. I'm not the Messiah you all been looking for. Verse 21. And they asked him, well, what then? Art thou Elijah? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And the Old Testament talks about that prophet that is to come. That's, of course, supposed to be Jesus. He says, and he answered, no. Then said they unto him, well, who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? And he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. That was, of course, a reference to Isaiah, that there was going to be a man going to come to proclaim when the Messiah is going to come. He says, I am that voice, but I'm not the one that you've been looking for. I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. In other words, let's get ready to receive him. As said the prophet Isaiah, and they which were sent were the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, well, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elijah, neither that prophet? And John answered them, saying, well, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who cometh after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latcheth I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. Let me say, we read all that, and I wanted you to hear this. John knew who he was. Can we say that? John was pretty clear who he was. Look at verse 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, look, hey, everybody look, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, listen, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore, I am come baptizing with water. In other words, a baptism of repentance. We won't get into all that, but those who were baptized by John were admitting they were a sinner in need of a Savior. We baptize now that we're sinners who have accepted the Savior. He's come. They were baptized looking forward to the Savior coming. We baptize looking to the fact that he has come, and we've accepted his death on the cross as full payment for our sin. Baptism never did more than that. Okay, it's an outward expression of who we are and our identification. Verse 32. And John bare record, saying, when Jesus came up out of the water, because he baptized Jesus, he said, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove and abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, who was who? God the Father. The same said unto me, God spoke to his heart when Jesus came up out of the water and that Holy Spirit came down in the form of a dove. He spoke to me and said this, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. He will immerse you. He will overcome. He will overwhelm you with the Spirit of God. That's what he's saying there, verse 34. And he says, and I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Now that's pretty clear too. Now, Take your Bible, and I want you to jump over to Luke chapter 7. And I want to see, I want you to see something. If we're not careful, we're going to be about ready to string up John the Baptist. At least that's what we do to ourselves and others. Luke chapter 7, verse 16. Luke chapter 7, verse 16. Jesus has been on the earth for a while. His ministry has been going on in John's ministry. But look what it says in verse 16, chapter 7 of Luke. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet has risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about. And the disciples of John, and you can write it near John the Baptist. It wasn't John the Apostle. The people that followed John the Baptist. They followed John, and then many of those switched over and followed Jesus. Well, Jesus was already, his ministry was coming along, and there were some folks still following John around. And the disciples of John showed him all these things. Verse 19. And John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, now look at this, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? Now, did you just hear what he told very boldly to all the scribes and the Pharisees and the priests? And now all of a sudden he says, go ask Jesus. Is he really the one we're supposed to be following? And when the men were come unto him, they said, John the Baptist hath sent unto us thee, saying, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? And in that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues, and of the evil spirits, and of many they were blind, he gave sight. And then Jesus answered and said unto him, go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard. How that the blind see and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Let's pray. And I know it's a big introduction there, but I want to talk on this topic. It can happen to the best of us. It could happen to the best of us. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your word. I am so glad that when you write your word and you give your infallible accounts of the men of God and women of God through the years, your prophets, and your regular folk, that you show us them, shortcomings and all, warts and all. We are overwhelmed by your purity and your holiness and your righteousness. And yet, Lord, you know that we're just dust. And when we try to comprehend all these things, we come face to face with our sinfulness and your righteousness. But in the midst of the righteousness, we also come into contact with your mercy. You said, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. We beheld your glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I want to be an encouragement to folks here. We're not careful. Sometimes we want to throw everything out just because we've questioned some things in our heart. It's not good to have questioned. That's not what we're saying. But Lord, you know who we are. So Lord, I pray you speak to us. Help us. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. You know, there's an old song. I don't know. I mean, a lot of folks know it. I don't know how real spiritual it is. And some old country singer wrote it. But it starts out, I'm only human. And then it goes on and says, teach me to take it one day at a time. Sweet Jesus. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't strive to do right. But we do need to remember, we're only human. If that wasn't the case, there was no reason to put in 1 John. By the way, the book of 1 John talks about how we know that we're saved. But chapter 1 starts out, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And he that said that he hath no sin made God a liar and the truth is not in us. He wouldn't start that all out. He wouldn't start that whole letter and trying to show us how he knows that we're saved with saying, now, first of all, just so you know, you're all still sinners. And you will be till you get the glory. Now, I'm not giving you a license. Shall we sin that grace may abound? God forbid. But where there were sin abounded, grace did much more abound. I will be honest with you. The events of the last few months have kind of caused me to think a little more deeply or a little more consistently, a little more clearly about some things than maybe I have in recent times. It's not that these thoughts haven't crossed my mind before, and it's not that these thoughts have not, I haven't tried to be empathetic with folks who have gone through issues and so forth and others in their circumstances. But life has a way of arresting our attention and forcing us into a frame of mind that causes us to reevaluate life, priorities, where we are. We start looking back. We're coming up to New Year's, and everybody started looking back and start making, you know, New Year resolutions and all these things. And these things kind of force us into a frame of mind that causes us to think about these things, to reevaluate the foundations on which we've been living. And the Bible says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, 1 Corinthians 10:13. Now, I know it says that we should pray and not doubt, not waver, and that's true. But it means don't stop asking because you get a little doubt in there. You don't need enough faith as a grain of mustard seed to move a mountain. Well, how much faith does that take? Just enough to have you keep asking. Faith is action based on a promise or command of God. If you have enough faith to keep you moving the same direction, you may be scared to death, but if you're still moving, there's faith. Doubting is not bad if it causes us to dig a little deeper into truth and to ground ourselves further in the facts. I do believe that some folks have been led to believe that if we ever allow ourselves to rethink biblical truth or feel we need to go back and rethink the tenets of our faith, that we've lost our faith, and some may even think that they've lost their salvation. Well, I want to assure you that is not the case. If you were ever saved, I want to assure you that you're still saved. If you were saved ever, then you're forever saved. We are human, and the Lord knows our frame that we're dust. Go back and look at Psalm 103. But the Lord is gracious and He's patient. His mercy endures forever. And has your life ever been shaken to its core enough to force you to rest in faith on the Word of God without any other recourse? It has sometimes. Well, I've got to just take His word on it. Well, you're not alone in your need. When we come to times such as these that we feel like we really we're out on a limb, we have nobody holding us up but God, we do not need to guilt ourselves but simply exercise our faith. And faith is action based on that promise or command of God. And sometimes the action is to simply go on with life, resting in the facts of the Word of God that changes not. I want to encourage you on some things here. I want you to see an example of a great man of God. Number one, John the Baptist said, there's something that I know. Jesus is the Son of God. That's what John the Baptist says. Jesus is the Son of God. And by the way, when all else fails, go back to that. It won't hurt you at all. The one you're praying to is the Son of God and God the Son. No one comes unto the Father but by Him. But we can come boldly to the throne of grace through Jesus Christ. Now in our passage in John, chapter 1, verse 14, you want to go back to John chapter 1, look at verse 14, just a little bit earlier than we started. He says, there's some things that we know. It says in the Word, of course we know in the beginning was the Word was with God, Word was God. The Word was made flesh, verse 14, and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. As says, and John bare witness of Him and cried, saying, this was He of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for He was before me, and of His fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask Him, who art thou? Now, we don't need to go through that passage. I read a little earlier. John says, I'm not the Christ. Jesus is. I'm not the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Jesus Christ is. He was very clear. Now, listen. It was early in His ministry. John had been asked who He was. And I think the Pharisees asked John who He was, kind of hoping He was not the Christ. They didn't want Christ to show up. They liked having the opportunity to be in charge. And they saw this guy, John, and everybody was kind of drifting toward him, gravitating toward him. And I don't think they wanted him to be the Christ or anything significant according to prophecy. And so they said, well, wait a minute here. Why in the world do you preach? You don't have any right to preach. Who are you? Of course, you know, you talk about, you know, we'll talk about here in a little bit, but, you know, John was not necessarily dressed the way they were. You know, he was kind of looked like a wild man, ate wild honey and locusts. And I don't think it was locust leaves. I think it was those crows, those noisy things and those buggy things. I won't get into that. But Janet and I were out to dinner. I won't tell you where it was. She cut her broccoli open. I knew there was something wrong with broccoli. And there was a bug in the middle of it. And I'm not talking a little one. I'm talking about big as a cricket. It was big. I don't even sure what it was. But anyway, I won't tell you where it was. It's usually a pretty good restaurant. But it was not good. That was just this week. Anyway, it was. Hey, we got a free dinner out of it. Of course, you didn't want to eat it, but you had a free dinner. I had a problem. I ate mine. Anyway, they asked John who he is. He says, I'm hoping you're not who you say you are. But John knew who he was. And you know what? There comes a time in life, and it should be. By the way, if you don't know for sure without a shadow of a doubt if you die to go to heaven, you can get that fixed. Christ has died. We're all of sin, come short of the glory of God. Every one of us, take your halos off. Come to church, the rest of us. There's none righteous. No, not one. All of sin and come short of the glory of God. And the wages, what we earn for being those sinners, is death. Separation from this world and separation from Him. The fearful, the unbelieving, abominable, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, all liars. And don't lie and say that doesn't count for you, because it does. And all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth fire and brimstone, which is the second death. But God commandeth His love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You ask Him to save you, He will, because He's already paid for it on the cross. It's just a matter of accepting the check, if you will. So we're saved, and that's good. And you know, if you don't have that settled, I'm serious. So I prayed something when I was 3, and Mama says I'm saved. And I don't want. And someone told you, well, you can't do it again. In other words, you can't have doubts. Oh, come on. Watch this. when Janet and I were married for 25 years, I packed her up and I told her we're going to go up to Dillsburg, up north of the church, and get something to eat. And when we came up here, up the road here, and this was 10, 12, we're 38 years, coming on 39 this year. So that's 14 years ago, and we went up, and there was all these cars sitting outside the church. And that was, 14 years ago, I've already been here 60, the church wasn't all that big. I said, what in the world are all these cars sitting out here at the church? I'm the pastor, I should know what's going on. So we stopped here, and I came in the front door. Now, I knew what was going on. And we walked in the front door, and Miss Olga stood there with Janet's bouquet and my boutonniere, and put a boutonniere on me and gave her the bouquet that she used when we walked down the aisle 25 years earlier. She had used silk flowers, so we had her bouquet. The doors came open, and my pastor, we had just left 2 years before, Dr. Belcher, was standing down here, and our two daughters were attendants over here, and our two sons were attendants over here, and our church members were all in here, and I walked her down the aisle, and we renewed our vows. I don't think she was mad. I even wrote a second verse of the song that I had written for her the day we got married. And so I sang the first verse, and I sang the second verse, and we in the whole works, And so, do I get any points for this? I hope I get some points for this. Anyway, we came down here, and I don't think she was upset that we renewed our vows. Take any doubt that I wanted to spend the rest of my life with her, okay? God is not going to be upset with you if you feel like you need to reset that and get that all squared away and tell him again you believe Jesus died and paid for your sin. He's not going to be upset with you. It's kind of like the prodigal son coming home and said, Daddy, I really do love you. You know what? It really was a mess out there. If there's any doubt, that's okay. God knows that. So don't let that hurt you. John knew who he was. He knew why he was born. I am sure his father, Zacharias, had told him about what the angel said in the temple when he was doing the incense and all this stuff, and how his mama had never had any babies, and there she was. She was old. And here he comes along. He knew all that. He knew he was a special boy. He knew why he had come. He knew who he was, and he knew who Jesus was. Now don't lose that. And I hope you know who you are as a child of Christ. You're his child. I've said this so many times. When you start having kids, you might as well say, I forgive you for the rest of your life. Because otherwise you're going to kill them. They're never going to get a Christmas present or a birthday present if you're going to hold grudges. You got to go ahead and forgive them. Well, you love them. That's right. And God loves you. You're his child. Well, I really messed up. Yes, he did. But you tell me you're more merciful than he is. Are you going to tell me you're more forgiving than God is forgiving? Are you going to tell me that you love more than God loves? You going to tell me you can look past sin more than God can look past our sin? And in fact, he already paid for our sin. Long time ago, so just go ahead and come. In fact, when he paid for it, he knew you were going to do it. You didn't, but he did. He paid for it anyway. Know who you are. John knew who he was. But number two, sometimes there comes a time, and I'm going to say this. John said, is Jesus the Son of God? Now he said, this is Jesus. He's the Son of God. But then we get to Luke 7, which, by the way, is a good little while later. He sends some of his boys over to ask Jesus, are you who we think we are? Who we think you are? And circumstances start casting doubt. Now, I read it to you, and he said he sent some of his disciples to find out. He says, art thou he that should come? Or we look for another. Well, he very plainly preached to everybody in town. Anybody that would hear him. that he was who he said he was. Now, I think it's interesting. The messengers that Jesus, that John sends out to Jesus, look, go back now, switch over to Luke 7 for me. Back to Luke 7:24. And when the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John. Now, it says that the men came to Jesus, and they asked him, are you the one that we should be looking for, or should we be looking for another? And Jesus said, you tell that stupid little John that he ought to know by now who I... No, he didn't. Is that boy blind? Does his ears not work? Everybody in town's thinking about this. They know who I am. I mean, come on. What did his mama and daddy tell him? Wasn't he brought up better than this? No. What did he do? Look at verse 21. Back up 21. And in that same hour, he cured many of their infirmities. Now, had he ever cured anybody before? Sure. And of evil spirits. And the blind he gave sight. He'd done that all before. Jesus, in his mercy, says, let me show you again. Let me show you again. Aren't you glad what he's willing to show you again? Boy, we get out and do something really stupid. We turn our back on. We may have even said some things. We may have embarrassed ourselves. Now look at this. John's been telling his disciples all these years, several years, that this is Jesus. He's the Messiah that is to come. And all of a sudden, the one who's been telling them this is the Messiah to come says, I'm not so sure. My guess is about by that time, John felt about that high. But trying to be honest, he said, I thought I had this figured out. But I got to double check something here. But Jesus didn't complain about John. You know what he said? Look at verse 24. And when the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John and said, don't listen to that guy. He's a quack. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He's just a crazy man. Now, he didn't gossip, he didn't backtalk. He didn't say, well, look where he is. Well, you would think he would have known better than to live like that. I know how his mom and daddy brought him up. Did you see he went off the deep end, like maybe some church members do from time to time, when somebody gets out of whack and they get into something they shouldn't have, and they get out there where they shouldn't be. Now we think, the problem is there's an awful lot of folks who do that and they think, well, I can't go back to church because everybody's thinking they're talking about me. Well, maybe they are, but Jesus isn't. They shouldn't be. But who gives a hoot what they say when I know what the boss says? The boss says, I'll tell you about the guy. I'll tell you about John. I'm going to tell you about John. Look at verse 24. What went ye out into the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they which are gorgeously apparelled and live delicately are in the king's courts. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea. I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. This is he, of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, There is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. And all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God being baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. Jesus said, and we said, John's my boy. Well, he just stood there in front of everybody and said, are you sure you're the one you say you are? Are you sure you're the Messiah that's supposed to come? I mean, this is the guy that was really your biggest supporter, and now all of a sudden, he's not so sure. And Jesus said, I know, but he's a good man. And he's ours. Boy, when you're his child, you're always his child. And you messed up. He says, I know. But he says, you know what? When I look at their heart, you know what I see? The blood of my blood has washed away their sins. That's what I see. Oh, yeah, they messed up. But they're mine. John came to the point where he also asked the question, is all this really true? Who is Jesus? And I don't think he questioned who he was as the voice of one crying in the wilderness, but he was not sure anymore who Jesus was. And how can one be so emphatic about something and then turn around and question it like this? And we've heard people do that. We've heard Christians, and something happened. We shouldn't allow it to happen. We should keep our eyes focused on him the entire time. But the fact is, things like this happen. It can happen. And if it hasn't happened, it very still could happen, that there's a time you start to question and second guess everything. Why is this not going the way I thought it was? Or you see somebody that did, and they talked big, and now all of a sudden they're wondering. Well, don't you go around bad-mouthing them. Don't you go around gossiping about them. If they were God's child, they were ever God's child, they are forever God's child. We know our position, and we're willing to accept it when things go well. John knew that he was not going to be in the forefront forever and that Jesus was going to take over the ministry. I don't want to spend a lot of time on here, but if you go back and read in John 3, he talks about how the fact is that there's going to come a time when he must decrease and Jesus must increase. He knew that his end was going to come, was going to come fairly early. So he knew that, and yet even though we know that, you know, things happen. Number three, I tell you what happened. Circumstances changed. I know who I am. I know who Jesus is. I thought I did. We know our position. We're willing to accept it when things are going well. But when things are not so well, that's when faith kicks in. When we got to walk in the dark and just hold his hand. And we don't know where he's going to lead us. He may not grab that first door that's going to give us the way out. Matthew 14. Matthew 14. You know the story. Herod got a hold of John the Baptist and he bound him and put him in jail because he told him you can't have that gal for your wife. That's incest, and Herod didn't like it. So he throws him in jail. And so John is sitting in jail, which, by the way, I think is the time when John sends two disciples. His disciples will find out who Jesus is. I think he's sitting behind the jail. The way I thought. And prospects really don't look real good. Now, I knew this was going to happen. Here we are. I know it's appointed a man wants to die and after that the judgment, but I just didn't want to go on the next load. Go ask Jesus. Is he who he says he is, or should we look for another? Circumstances changed. He didn't get out of that jail. Some spoiled little brat of a girl asked for his head on a silver charger. Even Herod knew better than that, but he did it anyway. What was happening? John was decreasing and Jesus was increasing. He had every reason to be concerned for his life. He could probably see that this time on this earth was over. The crowds had dispersed. They were following Jesus. The accolades had ceased and the public had turned on him and to some extent, and the government saw him as a problem they just needed to get rid of. And then he saw the proverbial writing on the wall. I know who I am. I know who Jesus is. But then things get tough. And we start second-guessing all that. Don't worry about it. Let's deal with it, but it happens to the best of us. Now let me run through this real quick with you. Number four. Doubt can happen to the best of us. I'm not encouraging it. I'm not making excuses. I'm saying God won't throw you away. He has not thrown you away. And there's a new morning. And when you come to Him in doubt, you know what He says? Well, let me show you again. Let me work with you again. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. He that confesseth forsaketh shall have mercy. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we are young and we're impetuous and things are going well, it's easy to talk faith. Then life hits us in the face and faith is put to the test. But listen, watch me. The facts have not changed. Our feelings have changed. The facts have not changed. Our feelings have changed. Now, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, and I probably shouldn't even do this, but this is not sexist. God made us differently. Male means to be the lifter of the load. Female means to nurture, to care for. The kid falls out of a tree and skins his knee. The father says, "Walk it off." And the mother says, "Oh, come here, poopsie. Let me see what you got going on here." "We'll let mommy kiss it." "Yes, we will. We're going to put something on that and get you off. It's going to be okay." You know? And the father says, "He's going to make a sissy out of him." You know, but he needs a little bit of both. He knew somebody cares, but he also is going to need to eventually know how to get up and keep going no matter what. Now, men tend to put things in boxes and women tend to feel things. And feelings become truth to them if we're not careful. Make sure you base your feelings, ladies, on truth. Now, men need to do this too. Don't get me wrong. You need to do it. But we base your feelings on the facts. Not just more feelings. Or somebody else's feelings. All right? Now, listen. Feelings can override the facts if we're not careful. Now, listen to me. There's a process. We experience human hurt. It just didn't go the way we wanted. Our expectations didn't happen. What I always dreamed of is not going to happen. Somehow life has slammed the door on something that we didn't want. Feelings come. Well, watch me. We experience human hurt. Now watch this. Hurt brings human fears. What about tomorrow? How are we going to handle this? Where are we going to be able to make it? Just afraid to face the day. Experience brings hurt. Hurt brings on human fears. Fears cause human doubts. I mean, any other day you would have just grabbed a hold of that, but no, wait, I wonder. I wonder if I should hang on to that. Let me just watch it a while here. And doubts stir human emotions. We experience human hurt. Hurt brings human fears. Fears cause human doubts. And doubts stir the emotions. And we begin to stand on the feelings rather than the facts. Circumstances come between our faith and the facts. Circumstances come between our faith and the facts. The facts have not changed. Our faith can still stand in the facts, but feelings have changed. Now watch me. Proverbs 28:26 says, "He that trusteth in his own heart
is a fool.
But whosoever walketh wisely, he shall be delivered." Don't let your feelings get you off the facts. How do you walk wisely? Go back to the facts.
He's the Son of God. He was the Son of God when we started this thing. He was the Son of God when I was baptizing, everybody else was believing, and He's still the Son of God. I'm
bound in the prison of this situation. He's still the Savior. He's still the Son of God. He's still the one who controls all. We beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten, the Word that became flesh, the Word that made all things. By Him was not anything made that was made. The Word by whom all things consist. That's Him. It's still Him. The promises are still true. Feelings didn't change one iota. But I feel like such a failure when I feel these things. It can happen to the best of us. None born of woman greater than John the Baptist. And John said, "You are the one, aren't you? I mean, is He really the one? Go back and check." And Jesus says, "You're a good man. Let me show you again. Let me show you again." Proverbs 18:1 says, "Through desire a man, having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with wisdom. A fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself." If you're trusting your heart, you're not wise. Don't go on the feelings. Go on the facts. Now, I've got to be done here. Number 5, go back to your source of truth. I told you danced all over this message. But apparently we were supposed to hear it twice from two different angles. Go back to your source of truth. We need to go back to the facts. The man came to Jesus and he says, "Well, okay, let me show you." And then he did it again. Go back to telling. By the way, we've got it all written down, black and white. See, well, For Jesus' sake, you know, the Bible says that there was a man named Nicodemus who came to Jesus by night. Remember that? And he said this, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." That's where he found out who he was in the first place. Jesus was telling John, "Look at what I do. No man could do this unless God be with him." He told the disciples in John 14, he's about ready to be crucified, and they're all of a sudden they're upset. "Wait, whoa, 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 whoa. You're serious. I mean, you're serious. You think they're going to come and crucify you?"
Yeah.
"But let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And the way you know, and where you know." And Thomas says, "We don't know where you're going." He says, "Thomas, listen, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, he that has seen me has seen the Father. And Philip says, listen, you show us the Father. That'll satisfy us. He says, Philip, have I been with you for so long? You don't know yet. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And if you don't believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me, he says in verse 11 there, for the very works' sake. That's why all those things happened. Now, they don't always happen in this dispensation, when you use that word these days. We're not here to prove who God is. God now has, we have a more sure word of truth. So we got to realize he deals things differently. Now, can God do all kinds of, yes. Can God deliver us? Yes, he can. Can God heal? Yes, he can. But don't expect it the same way it was whenever time Jesus went by. He healed all that were in town. Don't expect it. What do we have? 2 Peter 1, verse 16. I'm almost done. See, good. The roast is burning. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. Watch me. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Listen, we didn't just throw some happy thoughts into a book and hope that you're going to feel better, you'll be able to face tomorrow. This is not some psychological ploy. This is not think good things. We ought to think on the right things, that's true. But just the thinking on them is not good, it's not going to change the facts. He says, I've given you the book of the facts. Verse 17 says this, for he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. Proclamation, if you will. Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light and that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scriptures of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not of old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's what we have. Psalm 119, 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Luke 21, 33, the words of Christ. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But you know what I'm feeling? Go back to the beginning. Jesus is the Son of God. Hebrews 13, 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. We know Jesus as Savior, and we have a relationship with the Lord. Then life comes at us and shakes us to the core, and we question what we thought was truth. Go back to truth. Allow the Lord to speak to your heart all over again. And don't worry about it. It happens to the best of us. Father, thank you for speaking to our hearts here this morning. And I know there's a lot of folks across this room, a lot of Christians who feel like, well, I failed. He knows my heart. I messed up. And we're ready to throw it all in. We're ready to go off and go hide in a corner because we're afraid that he's ashamed of us and you don't want us anymore. And that's not the truth, Lord. You turn right around and say, no, you're mine. I love you. You're a good guy. Just going through some struggles here. So we just need to show you again. Lord, show us again. May we come to you in faith. And you show us again. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet.